sure they certainly know what it's like to talk when nobody listens. I, for one, can speak for parents. I know what it's like to talk and children aren't not listening. We'll jump over wives talking to their husbands. That's a different lesson entirely. But it's frustrating. It's just really frustrating. We feel that the things we need to talk about are very serious, and whoever it is just won't listen. Now, in a spiritual sense, just imagine how frustrating it is to God to have written a perfect plan for the salvation of our souls, to incorporate a perfect sacrifice for us, and to spell it out actually very simply in the Bible to communicate that information to us, and yet there are many, 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 many people that just will not listen. Our text is going to come from Psalm 81. In Psalm 81, David is talking about a situation by which we've been discussing. God was speaking to people, in this case about worshiping idols. He was telling them and warning them and telling them not to worship idols, but it seems that they just would not listen. I'm going to read from verse 11, Psalm 81. I want to begin in verse 11. I want to read from the New King James, and then I want to read just a portion from another translation. But my people would not heed my voice. Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. And another translation says they would just have nothing to do with God. So David is talking about a time when Israel, the northern kingdom, the northern part of God's people, David is talking about a time that God had warned them and told them not to worship idols, and yet they did anyway. 1 Kings 17:12, the people worshiped idols, though the Lord said, "Thou shalt not do this." In other words, they decided to follow their own. The reason I read New King James, it gives a better description. God allowed them to follow their own stubborn hearts. King James just says their hearts. But if you try to find the real meaning, the real translation should be their stubborn hearts. In other words, God allowed them to follow their own counsel, their own advice, to make their own decisions. And we know what happened to the northern kingdom. God allowed the Assyrian army to come in and completely abolish Israel from the face of the earth. They would not listen to God. God allowed them to be destroyed. Now, brethren, it is well and good that God has given us a perfect plan.
It is well and good that He has given us a perfect example.
so many other of the prophets, God would speak to his people through the prophets. God also spoke sometimes to people through angels. Maybe the most important one is where Gabriel, the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1, tells Mary, you will have a son and you'll name his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So God used various and sundry ways to speak to his people in times past. We're not even going to take time to mention all the dreams and visions where God spoke to his people that way. But it's like today. A lot of us communicate off and on. Sometimes you'll send me a text. You're talking to me through that text. Sometimes we even use a phone, not very often anymore, but sometimes we use a phone or an email. And some of you even communicate through Facebook. So there are different ways that we can communicate. God also used different ways to communicate. So that was the past. What about now? The Hebrew penman says that God used to speak in various and sundry ways. Today he speaks through his son. Now, I could have sworn that I've heard preachers all of my life say that God speaks today through the word. In fact, you've heard me say that time and time and time again. God speaks today through the word. And yet the Hebrew penman says he speaks through his son. Not confusing at all. In the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there's no confusion at all. Jesus said, the Word that I have spoken, the same will judge us in the last day. John 12, verse 48. So for a little time tonight, we've looked at how God spoke to us in the past, how God speaks to us in the present, through the Word, through his Son. His Son is the Word, and the Word, the New Testament, is the complete revelation of God to us. In other words, there's no other secretive information that God has out there, and ever so often he dispels that to some individual. We have it all. The faith once and for all time delivered unto the saints. Therefore, every time we read, every time we study, every time we preach or listen to the preaching, every time we teach or listen to the teaching, God is communicating with us. When we study the Bible, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, inspired human men to write the very mind of God. That's what inspiration means. Breathed out. You know, sometimes Jesus would breathe on the disciples and say, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, God breathed out his word upon these men. Made sure they said everything he wanted them to say and say it in a perfect way. But that's found in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Also, God communicates with us. Now, you need to stay with me here. God communicates with us when we have a specific question, spiritual question, when we have a specific Bible-related question, and we search for the answer, brethren, we will find the answer. And that's why I wish more of our brethren realized how imperative it is that we attend Bible classes. Now, a lot of times we'll hear parents say, well, I want to make sure my children get to Bible class, but I'm not going to be here until the worship hour. Brethren, that's just the opposite. The parents need to be here so they can help their students, their children, understanding what the students, the children, have learned. It's imperative that we do. But let me say that again. If we are sincere in our Bible study and we have a doctrinal, spiritual, religious question, we will find it in the Bible. We might need help, but the answer is there. Maybe we're worried about something. Maybe something bothers us. We will find the answer with a diligent search. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious. One translation says, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So all answers concerning spiritual matters can be found in the Bible. That's God communicating with us. Now, so far, I think everything that we've discussed has been very positive, and I like to preach positive sermons. But let's use a negative reinforcement for our positive points. All right, think about the Old Testament, first of all. What happened to God's people when they refused to listen to God? Or maybe they listened to God and refused to heed God. In our text, God allowed the Assyrians to come and destroy Israel. But what about Adam and Eve? God was very point blank. Do not eat. They ate. They were punished. What about the people of Noah's generation? Noah spent over 100 years preaching. He's called a preacher of righteousness. No doubt included in that was a call for repentance and to join him and his family in the ark. They refused to listen, and they drowned. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah were burned in fire and brimstone. That's then. Now, what about today? You know, some of the saddest verses in all the Bible were written by Paul to the brethren in Thessalonica. Evidently, once you've studied 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you realize this. The church in Thessalonica must have been very confused or troubled about the second coming, because Paul, in both of those letters, talks about the second coming of Jesus. But listen to what he says in 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning with verse 7. He says, "Now when the Lord shall return, he shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them," now notice, "on them that know not God," that do not know God, "and that do not obey the gospel." They will be, vengeance will be taken upon them. They will be condemned. They do not know God, or they do not obey God's word. Now that's future. I used to say a sidebar. Tonight I'm going to say a subcategory. Let's look at a subcategory here. There are a lot of people that like to discuss religion. I think all of us agree. One of the things that everyone likes to talk about is religion, the weather, and politics. It seems that that's three things that everyone thinks they're an expert on. And there are a lot of people that know part of the Bible. There are even some people that know a lot of the Bible. But brethren, according to the Bible, we need to know all of the Bible. We need to believe all of the Bible. And the part that is germane to us, the part that applies to us, we need to make application in our lives. Paul speaks of the whole counsel of God, not just part, but the whole counsel of God. We already read, Paul wrote, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We've also talked about Jude's statement, the faith once and for all time delivered unto the saints. Jesus said, blessed are those that not only hear his teaching, but apply it to their lives. He didn't say, listen to my teaching, and some of it might sound good to you. I want you to apply that part to your life. Malachi 2, verse 2, in the context, he's talking about all of God's word. We must listen of God's commandments, to God's commandments, otherwise we will be cursed. And when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by some of the things that we find in God's word. No, that's not right. Many of the things? No. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Brethren, we must listen. I preached a sermon one time. I don't think I've ever preached it here. Perhaps I used the illustration, though. I preached a sermon one time. I called it Cafeteria Religion. And in my sermon, I made mention of Lubies, at least Lubies as they were when I was growing up. My favorite. not that way. We need to take care of God's word in our lives. Some people only want to hear what they want to hear. And though that would be nice, that's not going to get us to heaven. John says we must continue in the teaching of God, otherwise we do not have God. As newborn babes, Peter says we must desire or demand the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Jesus said, search the scripture, for they are they that testify of me. The Bereans search the scripture daily to prove those things were true. And then one last passage of scripture and the lesson will be yours. Deuteronomy chapter 11, one of the most precious chapters in the entire Old Testament. We read, beginning with verse 8, you shall keep every commandment that I give you, that you may be strong. We skip down to verse 13. If you earnestly obey my commandments, with which I command you, you shall be blessed. And then we conclude with verse 18 and following. Lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign. Teach them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied. Brethren, there is one God's word. Jesus said, that's